Okay, so I want to do two things. I want to cover the parallel issue that we talked about in terms of mitzvah matir from Omer in Shtei Halachim. And then, if we have time, which I hope we'll start on the question of what exactly is the nature of the mitzvah to wait until the Omer, focusing on the Yerushalmi and Tosfot. Okay, so to recap a little bit, what we noted yesterday was that there is this fundamental question as to whether the definition of the Karbana Omer is as a matir, right? Meaning that its entire identity is wrapped up in its ability to permit the new grain, or does it also have a status of a mitzvah? Right? And does it have a standalone identity? Now, we noted that this may be part of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is understood in the latter half of the Gemara. Namely, do you think that the Karban HaOmer speeds up the Heter process or slows it down? Right? Rabbi Yehuda thinks it speeds it up because the Isser would be until the 17th, if it weren't, right, meaning until the end of the 16th rather, unless you have the Omer, in which case you bump up the Heter by a few hours, which seems to point in the direction that the Omer has the ability to be matir, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has understood in the latter half of the Gemara that no, the Heter comes from sunrise on the 16th, but there's a mitzvah that actually delays your eating, which is the Omer, which focuses more on mitzvah. We noted that this may be the machlokes, and again, some of this appears in the Gris, some of it appears in the Imek Bracha. Many of the Achronim go in this direction. Part of it may depend on the Gemara on Bet, Dalet, Hey, and Hey. Bet, Dalet, and Hey. Right? The three-way machlokes, Rav, Rava, Reish Lakish, as to whether the Karban HaOmer is like a Chatat, in the sense that if you bring it to the Lishma, not only is it not Lo Alu, that it doesn't fulfill your obligation, but it's also invalid. And we noted that Chatat and Asham and other Karbanot that are totally defined by their ability to accomplish a certain goal, if you don't do it Lishma, if you don't bring them with the right intent, such that you would fulfill your obligation, they become meaningless. So then you have Mandav Dalid, the Gemara introduces the position of Rav, right? Of Rav, that the Omer is the same way, which, because it's supposed to be Matir and it didn't, which seems to point in the direction that it is a Matir, as opposed to Rav and Reish Lakish, who think that it's Alu Levi Lelum Shem Klova, that there are different formulations of that. And we noted that even within that, there seems to be Machlok Rashi Tosfot. Why is it that Lo Lishma doesn't affect the Omer? Is it because it's fundamentally Usser, it's a Chiddush, and you can't learn anything from it, or simply because it's Orim? Which may also depend on whether you think it's a Matir or Mitzvah. We noted as well there's the Machloket in how to interpret the Mishnah, but at first glance, the Mishnah seems to mean, and this is how certain Mefarshim take it, that there is a machloket whether the Karban HaOmer was brought in the Midbar, even though everyone agrees there was no Isser Chadash. So if you think it was brought in the Midbar, even though there was no Isser Chadash, clearly it's a standalone mitzvah. If not, so then it might be because you think it's a matir.
Practice.
What? Right, so it could be practiced. Okay, and this also gets into a little bit of a complicated circuit in Rosh Hashanah Yud Gimel about the first Omer, which we didn't really get into. We mentioned it a little bit a few weeks ago when we did what does Mimachar HaShabbat mean, but understanding those circuit in Yoshua, but we didn't get too involved in that. And then we noted that even within mitzvah, you could take this in two ways, right? You could say that it's just a mitzvah, or you could say, the way the Imek Bracha suggests, based on the Midrash Tadshe, is that it's a mitzvah of a chag. It actually transforms the day into a chag, and that's what understands the Midrash, that says you have Chag HaPesach, Chag HaOmer. Again, it does seem to be that if we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we paskin like Rava, so then we think that the Karban HaOmer is also a mitzvah, but according to that, based on the analysis of the Emek Bracha, you would think we should say Hallel Shalem with a Bracha on the second day of Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, which we don't. And that's why I said you might have to be Machalik and say that maybe the Midrash thinks that this is a not just a mitzvah, but a mitzvah hayom, the way Karban Pesach is. And maybe we think it's a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah in that sense. It doesn't define the day as a holiday or something like that. So that's what we were up to yesterday. That's a 5-minute summary of those issues. And what I wanted to just note today first is that we have a parallel machlokes, or a parallel issue to understand by the Shtei Halachim. So as we already saw in the Mishnayot, the Mishnah draws this parallel, and it seems to be implicit in the Pesukim as well, that the Omer and the Shtei Halachim are in certain ways similar korbanot. The Omer, remind me, the Omer does what? Permits the new grain for eating and for harvesting, begvulin, meaning for non-Beit HaMikdash purposes. But new grain doesn't become permitted in the Beit HaMikdash until the Shtei Halachim. And the Omer and the Shtei Halachim are therefore parallel, the Omer accomplishing in Gvulin outside the Beit HaMikdash what the Shtei Halachim accomplishes for the functioning of the Beit HaMikdash, with the exception of the Omer itself. However, so you might have said that the Shtei Halachim is identical conceptually to the Omer, except that the Mishnah tells you that there's a very significant difference between the two. What is it? So one is that that's the obvious, but the other is that even within the Heter it's different, because one is only the Chatchila, one's B'diavad. That the Karban Omer, right, if you bring grain to the Beit HaMikdash before the Karban Omer, it's Pasul B'diavad, right, meaning, or B'diavad if you'd rather, right? B'diavad, right, it's Pasul, it's totally invalid. But that's not true of the Shtei Halachim. You shouldn't bring new grain as a Karban in the Beit HaMikdash until you brought the Shtei Halachim, but if you did, post facto, it's kasher. Why? So that's what we're going to have to figure out. Now, I want to throw this out now, because this is going to be important, okay? Yeah, also the Beit Din. Now, this is going to become important, because one of the questions we're going to get to, and I know, it's going to take a little bit of time, but the question of how does the Omer play out when there's no Beit HaMikdash and you can't bring the Karban, and in Chutz La'aretz, and, you know, we saw some of it already in the Gemara, but is Chodesh Mechutz La'aretz Aser? What about Ktzira Bizman Hazeh? Right? Even if you think that the Yisra Achila applies nowadays in Chutz La'aretz, what about the Yisra Ktzira? You're not allowed to cut? Or is that derivative of the Karban? Right? And some of these issues, cutting, Ktzira, harvesting. Right? Remember, you're also not allowed to harvest until the Omer. Again, Machloket in the Gemara, is it from when you harvest the Omer or from when you bring the Omer? But how does that play out, Bizman Hazeh? Is there such an Isser at all? Is it, right, is it similar to the Isser HaOmer? Is it similar more to Shtei Halachim? Is it unique?
If a non-Jew harvests it.
Nachri as well is part of it. If he owns it, right? I mean, owns it more than if he harvests it. That's part of the question, right? We're going to see when we get to the question of how we eat, how do many people eat Safek Chadash in Chutz La'aretz, right? One of the factors, meaning many poskim say you can't, many people don't, right?
Don't. How do they not do that?
What do you mean?
How would they know?
You check. Barcodes.
What?
Barcodes. You find out when the grain was harvested. How do you think people keep Yashan Vada in Chutz La'aretz? Yes. I have done it many, many times. You can look at the barcode and figure out when the wheat was harvested in the produce that you have. How do you think people keep Yashan do it? I kept it definitely for flour when I was in Chutz La'aretz. I tried as much as I could. Mr. Brewer had Pasca and said, even if you can't keep it entirely, that doesn't mean you should throw it out the window. So flour is pretty easy to keep. So I kept flour in my own house pretty much always. Like, since I was married, since I've had my own house. Well, as I told you, remember I said, if you look at gold medal flour and it says KC at the beginning of the barcode, right, not like the, like, under the barcode there's a code, like, not the lines, but underneath there's a code. A package, no, the underneath there's a packaging code, sorry, not barcode, there's a packaging code underneath, right? Here, I'm very makbid, because here I really am makbid, because in Israel, in Chutz La'aretz, it's hard to keep. Here, it's not, except an imported thing. But if there's an imported thing, right, I check. I check if it's Chadash. Because the Rabbanut will, right, the Rabbanut has different standards and whatever, but certain imported things can get in that are still Chadash, that are Safek Chadash, and you have to check. Right, it depends on what the Rabbanut puts on it. Right, the Rabbanut sometimes will put a gushpank on it, but they might not. If people bring things from Chutz La'aretz, I don't need it. at times of the year when I'm worried about it. Because here, we really are Makbid, right? All the, you know. Here, they have to be Yashan or they won't get a Hechsher. The Rabbanut does not get a Hechsher to something which is not Vada Yashan. You cannot get a Hechsher. So see, that's what I'm saying. Here, the standard is Yashan. It's Vada Yashan. Chotzar, it's not true. But you can do it. You go online and you Google the Yashan guide, you'll see that people are Makbid on Yashan. It'll say, for wheat, this is the date you have to look at. The packaging, you can figure it out from the packaging date and the expiration date. You can figure out whether it's using chadash or yashan wheat, barley, oats, spelt, bechule. Certain things are easier than others. Pretzels are much easier to be yashan because they tend to use winter wheat. Because they're baked hard, it doesn't matter how old the wheat is. Right? Then that's a problem, right? That can be a problem. Again, I'm not posking for you yet. We haven't done the sugya yet, right? We haven't gotten to the lemaisa, but I want you to start thinking about how these issues come up. We're going to see it. And again, you know, Rav Lichtenstein was extremely makbid. Even when no one was makbid, like 40 years ago, 50 years ago when he was in America, he froze flour for 6 months. That's what he did. Because the 6 months or so after Pesach, you can still get Yashin. After that, you couldn't. He would just buy a lot of flour before things started being chadash problems and froze it for 6 months. And that was what he did. That's often. You can talk to Yosef Soloveitchik. I'm sure that's what Aaron Soloveitchik did also.
So you would buy flour before Pesach?
No. After Pesach. Because after Pesach, the stuff that you're buying in the stores is still Yashin. Because it was picked. If the guy picks it, that's not your problem, right?
But until how long?
So usually that's 6 months.
Because
if there's two harvests, you usually get about 6 months.
So
for wheat.
So those 6 months he would eat that, and then for the next 6 months he'd eat the frozen.
He would, like, right before the end, I assume, you stack up. That's what you did. That's what we did. That's what, like, when you know, I, like I said, when I was in Chutz Laaretz, what I tried to do was be as makbid as I could. Right? Because that's what Mishnah Berurah suggests. Even if you can't be fully makbid, it's just not realistic. That doesn't mean you stop caring at all. So what I did was, like a few weeks before cereals started to turn to Safek Chadash, I would stock my closet until Pesach.
About things that go bad, right?
So that's harder. But if you bought, you know, for the many, but cereal was not. Like I said, there are different people. There's some people who don't care about it at all. There's some people who are super makbid. And you know, Luchenstein was super makbid. Rav Rosenzweig, from what I've heard, what he does is he does what he can, right? Like the Mishnah Berurah suggests. So I did, you know. Again, we'll see what this is. You know, it's you found the Yashan guide.
There's a few things. Which one of them?
Yashan.com? Maybe. Could be.
CRC,
CRC has a Yashan guide. There's Mr. Yashan. There's like the Mr. Yashan guy. I think that's Yashan.com. Do you know, I've called up factories and asked them, do you know for this product when the wheat was harvested for that product? I've done that before.
Is that
the answer? Yeah, I mean, sometimes they think you're nuts, but yeah.
I'm going to start stop eating wheat.
What?
Sometimes you're going to stop eating wheat.
Wheat, barley, oats, spelt? What do you mean? Barley malt is in a lot of things. So you're not going to have bread, you're not going to have cereal, you're not going to have soy sauce, you're not going to have pastas, you're not going to have pretzels. You're not going to have... If you go on... What? Yep, has wheat. Yep, it does. This is a little bit wheat. Whatever. Look, you know, it could be very healthy, right? A lot of people, that's their chosen diet, right? All protein and fat, right? Just, you know, some version of like Atkins or keto. You'll go keto, right? You will go keto. All you will ever eat is chicken and eggs and.
That's beautiful meat.
That's it, and vegetables, you know, vegetables and fruit, but no grain. Cut all gluten out of your diet. Okay, you can have rice. Rice is not a problem.
Desserts you can't have. live.
Correct. Anyways, again, we haven't done the sugya yet, but these are the issues you got to think about. Okay, so the question is, what is the... You understand why this is a very important halacha maisa issue. We just have to get there. We have to get to it. Okay, my goal is to at least get through the halacha maisa of chadash before the end of the year.
If it's not, still looking
what?
If it's so important, there's something people that just don't...
That's what I said, we're going to get to it. We are not there yet. We have to get to the heterim that have been offered, right? There's a heter which is offered by the Bach. There's a heter which is offered by the Rama based on the Rush. Right? There are certain key heterim that have been offered historically, and you know, we'll see. You'll see why. Recently, it's become more common. That even it used to be that most of the kashrus organizations just didn't care about it at all, and they just said the Rama says it's mutter, and that's it. But more recently, many of the kashrus organizations, while they'll still give a heter to something that's safek chadash, they have started to include on their website details for people who want to be makbid on vadayashan. The OU has started to do that. The CRC has started to do that. COR in Toronto has started to do that. The London Bezin has done it for a long time.
We saw an issue of vadayashan even outside of Israel.
Oh, I found a guy.
Have you been listening to me last?
No, I mean, I understand.
That's what I just said. I said, Pashtus in the Sugi is yes. That's why people are looking for a Terim. Because the simplest read of the Gemara is that yes, Chadash is Asar in Chutz La'aretz. Nikuda. That's what we, right? That's it.
They're saying they're still looking for a Terim? Meaning they haven't found one yet?
No, they're like, the Heterim, we will see, are not glot, shall we say. They're not perfect.
Okay.
They're not smooth. I'm not going to give you a conclusion. I'm not paskening for you.
Can I make you worry that I should keep Yashan and Chadash?
Sardim should.
Okay. Oh, shoot.
What do you mean? The main heter is based on the Rama.
Okay, yeah. The main heter is based on the Rama?
But Beis Yosef is not Meikel.
He's not strict.
He is strict.
He is strict.
Yes.
So you're saying he's not strict.
He is strict. Shulchan Aruch. Svardi Psak traditionally is strict on this.
Yeah.
The heterim that have been offered are almost entirely Ashkenazi. My Sephardi friends in Smicha were makbid. They didn't rely on any of the heterim. I'm not telling you what to do, but this is the heterim are Ashkenazi, not the Chumrot. The heterim are Ashkenazi, the Chumrot are Nazi.
I still have to use it secondly.
Sometimes.
I don't have to go see someone, thank you,
Rabbi.
What?
I'm still waiting for him to put
Titi
on his LinkedIn.
Ask your rabbi what he thinks.
Yeah,
according to this guy, spelled NY, if it's from the USA, it definitely is from
someone. No, that could be. It could be it's spelled in Yashan. It could be.
If it's from other countries, you have to check.
So it could be that spelt and rye is, or what's it called, or winter wheats, that they only do it in the winter. 100%. The guy on the Yashan.com, is it Yashan.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like the expert. And he did this not professionally. He did it because he cares about it.
Reason,
he writes this like 100-page guide every year.
$12 on it, but also it's all right here.
You know, it's if you want a hard copy, he'll... You know, he provides it for free, but if you want a hard copy, he'll send it to you for like $12.
Yeah, it's 62 pages.
Correct. Do you know how hard it is? Oro would get so annoyed at me because we'd be like going to the store and I'd like be like sitting there on my smartphone, you know... Like going through 62 pages. Wait, what does it say under the barcode? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, we're guys. I told you this is very, very important. Halacha Maaseh. We've got to get there, right? I'm not going to jump. I will only jump if it turns out as we're getting close, you know, closer to the end of the year, as close as we already are, that we're going to miss it. Then I will jump and I will make sure we cover it before the end of the year. But I am committed basically to getting to the end of the, at least giving you the main sheet out and understanding this. Okay, good. So, well, okay, that was a good aside. It's not really an aside, it's just jumping ahead. But this is why the sugya is so important, right? It's not just that it's lumdishly important, right? Halachically, this is one of the biggest fights, right? One of the most important issues in Psak. You know, it has been, Poskim has been struggling with it for hundreds and hundreds of years.
I mean, it's also just easy to just plead ignorance.
Well, if you would like to plead ignorance, you can, you've already basically can't, but if you would like to,
I mean,
not be able to plead ignorance, no.
Or, to be fair, before we started, I didn't know about
Good. Well, that's the point of yeshiva. That's the point of yeshiva, man, is to teach you things. Okay. So, but coming back to the question of the Omer. So, as we said, conceptually, this issue has to be asked by the Shtei Alechem as well. Okay? So, turn to Memchet Amud Beis. And I don't think before the end of the year we're going to have time to like fully explore the Shtei Alechem, even though I would have liked to. Like I said, during the summer I'm probably going to continue doing Shir for whoever wants in some form. I don't know.
We're going to be in America.
What?
We're going to be in America.
Like I said, I don't know what it's going to look like. It depends how many people are here. Not in the past, we've always done some Shirim during the summer. But I think that I'm going to continue doing, not like Shiryomi, but I'm still doing some topics, and some of them might just be things that I've already prepared from this parak, or I'm thinking about. Over the summer, one of the topics I wanted to do this year was defining lefty, a lefty and a righty, Bisman Hazef, for the purpose of tefillin, when writing is no longer our main way of expressing our rightiness. Right? This is a big machlokas in modern poskim. Right? There are poskim who think that. There are other poskim who don't. Right, like I said, I want to deal with this. Majority of activities you do, right? Some people write with one hand, but they do other things with their left. Correct, but now people type, so writing has lost significance. And the question of how do you define writing? Why is writing important? Again, there's a big machlokas in the poskim.
So, if you're machlokas, should you provoke your child to write?
Because even when you're typing, let's say on your phone, you're typing. If you were typing,
oh my God, you people! Even if you're typing on your phone. I hate. I feel like I'm old, like a different generation. Like, I hate like type. It's so annoying to type on my phone. Like, I do it if I have to. Like, I type. I actually type on a computer. On a phone, I hate it. No, I'm a very fast typer. Of course you're not, because you type on your phone. I type blind in English and Hebrew without the stickers.
We don't have computer classes.
We didn't have. Oh, do we have computer classes? Oh, yeah. We have, not typing classes, we have computer classes. No, we didn't have typing when I was in high school. We had computer class. We had typing in like elementary school. But I taught myself to blind type. What do you mean? Like, Hebrew, it's the best thing. Like, literally, my keyboard doesn't even have the Hebrew letters on it. I just know where they are. What? Well, I taught myself in yeshiva very slowly. And then I edited several hundred page books in Hebrew. And then suddenly, Beis Yitzchak, when I was the editor of Beis Yitzchak for a few years, and suddenly I had to type in Beis Yitzchak, which is YU's like Torah journal they put out each year, which is like 700 pages long. So I was the editor or editor in chief for 3 or 4 years. Oh, okay. Anyways, good. So let's go to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so look at Memchet Amud Beis, guys. Memchet Amud Beis. Ki asa Rav Yitzchak. Tani, Rav Yitzchak came, he taught, there's three lines from the top of Mem Ches Amud Beis. Tani, Kivsi Atzeret Sheshachtan Shalokim Mitzvatan, Psulin. If you shecht the karbanot that are brought on Shavuot, not to Mitzvatan, right? So then they are invalid to Ubar Tzuratan. So Tuvar Tzaratan is, you have to make sure that they, you have to leave them over before you can destroy them. Rashi said, Levisha in Tzorfen Kachim, Achi Yivsulu Belina. V'yitzulu Beirat Tzreifa. And then you burn them. And Amar Rav Nachman, Mar Demakis L'lechata Tani Psulen. Mar compares them to Chatot, and that's why he thinks they are invalid. So look at Tosfot. Tosfot says, "V'ha'ad peirsha kuntres shelo lishman." Rashi says, "What is shelo kemitzvatan? What does it mean?" So actually, look at Rashi first. Rashi says, "Shelo lishman." What does it mean that you brought the kibbutz eser shelo kemitzvatan? It means you did it lo lishma. Rashi ki'ata Rav Yitzchak. First short line. So shalol lishman. Now look at Tosfot. Tosfot says peir rekundra shalol lishman. Rashi thinks that the kivtzei atzeret brought shalol lishman means shalol kibbutz vadan means shalol lishman. V'ha ditnan kol hazvachim sheniz v'lechula shalol lishman k'sherin chutz min ha-pesach v'chatot. But wait a second. Doesn't the first Mishnah in the Masechet say that it's only a chatat and... Sorry, the first Mishnah in Zvachim, which as I said is parallel, that it's only a chatat, maybe an asham. And kivtzei atzeret doesn't need to be lishma. Right? It would be like everything else. Right? Kashav lo'alu. Lo patek le'lafuke shlamim. So he said, maybe that's only to exclude shlamim. Inami kiketani boin biglal atzmon boin biglal lechem lo katani. Second possibility is, it's true that these are pasul if they weren't lishma, but these are unique because they're ancillary to the what? To the shtehalechem. And the shtehalechem needs to be brought lishma.
What does
that mean? Meaning secondary to? Subservient to? They're brought with the bread, and the bread is the main thing. They're brought with the shtehalechem, the special loaves.
So, meaning it's fine if
so therefore, the reason it's not mentioned in the Mishnah is because it's not pasul because of itself. It's pasul because it integrates into this thing you bring called the shtei lechem, and the shtei lechem need to be brought lishma. So that's why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Meaning, it's because conceptually they're linked. Right, that's the point. So it's not linked to the Mishnah, mentioned in the Mishnah, but it's true. So then he goes to his question. He says, wait a second. Why is the reason that it's pasul because of a hekesh that it's compared to a chatas? Right? The Gemara says that it's pasul because it's compared to a chatas. But I have a better reason why the shtei lechem need to be brought lishma in order to be kasher. Why? Because they're a matir. Because they're brought with the shtei lechem. They're part of the matir process. And as we saw in Daf Dalid, according to Rav, any matir, if it's not brought lishma, is possible. Dilma ho levayim lahatir chodesh b'mikdash v'lo etiru v'mayte de Rav erkam, etc. Said, yeah, but Rav didn't mention it. Second answer is the shtehalechem are a matir, and the bread is not. Inami lechem nami lo mikri matir. Kevin called the shtehalechem im hevi kasher. Alternatively, the lechem are not a matir. Because if you bring a carbon before the shtei lechem, if you bring a mincha before the shtei lechem, is it kosher b'diavad? Yes. So what do you see in Tosfot? Again, I don't want to get into the whole sugya, but look at those last two answers in Tosfot. What did Tosfot say? Answer one is, the carbon is a mitzvah, but the shtei lechem are a matir. And therefore, the shtei lechem, if you bring it shalol lishma, is it possible? Yes, because it's a matir. Right? What's answer two? No. Even if the omer is a matir and is possible shalol lishma like Rav, the shtei lechem, everyone will agree, is not a matir. Why? Because even though you're not allowed to bring a mincha to the Beit HaMikdash from new grain until you bring the shtei lechem, since if you did, it would be kosher, that shows you it's not a matir. So you see, you have it, it's explicit. You have two answers in Tosfot. One conceptualizes the shtei lechem as a matir, the other says it's a mitzvah. And toch kedei, you get a little bit of a glimpse into what does a matir mean for Tosfot. According to one answer, in order for it to be defined as a matir, what does it need to be? It needs to take something from the status of usur
to
mutter. The other one is, even if it, or not usur to mutter, it has to move it from treif, right, problematic, to not problematic. The first answer is no. Even if it removes an iser, even if it didn't make a trade, right? It wouldn't invalidate it. But it removes an obstacle, or it enhances it, makes it less problematic to bring. That's already enough to be defined as a matir. But you seem to have a machlokes, right? They have two ways of conceptualizing matir. Is matir only that it moves it from invalid to valid, or even if it removes it from problematic to not problematic, right? Or less problematic. Because the shtelechem, the omer, if you bring a karbon before the omer, not only shouldn't you have done it, but it's invalid. It's possible. But if you bring a mincha from new grain before the shtelechem, but after the omer, you're not supposed to, but if you did, it's kasher. So one answer in Tosfot is, well, it's kasher either way. The fact that there's a mitzvah to wait until the shtelechem, that doesn't make it a matir. The other day is no. Because you shouldn't do it before, and once you bring the shtelechem, now you can, with no qualms, even though it's kasher either way, that's defined as a matir. Yeah. No, we don't have one right now. No, not right now. But maybe when we summarize it. But by shtelechem, but you see that these two days in Tosfot are arguing this point. Right? Is the shtelechem defined as a matir or as a mitzvah? Right? And that's what they're arguing. And therefore, will it be possible for the Shema? According to Rav. Now, I don't know if we'll get into this, but let me throw out the main idea. If it's not treif, right? It's not pasul to bring a karban of new grain before the shtelechem, so why is it a problem at all? So you could say mitzvah minim v'chor, we'll get there, but even what would the mitzvah minim v'chor be? So the answer seems to be something like, what does the pasuk call the omer, the shtelechem? What words does it use in those pasukim? There are two key words, reshit, first, and bikurim, which also means first. And therefore it seems to me that it's not this pasul, it's not this trace before that, but there's a mitzvah to make these karbana the first representation in Beit HaMikdash.
Once they're not first anymore, once they do something else, then the mitzvah goes away. There's no mitzvah at all. Because then they're no longer first.
Right, so that's an interesting sub-question within the shtelechem. Right? Is that if I already invalidated it, is there any value to waiting? Interesting, right? Okay. Fine. I know it's a bit confusing, right? But what you see is that the exact same question that we had by the Omer, you seem to have by the Shtelechem, even though the Shtelechem is, right, doesn't, it's not invalid before the Shtelechem. Now the Griz is the one who notes this. So if you look at the source that I gave you, he writes, Lufiza nimtza shtelechem eino matir klal. He thinks that the shtelechem is not a matir at all. Umadit nan lekamon shtelechem a matir chadash b'mikdash ain't a matir mamish. Even though we use the language of matir, it's not really matir, that it permits bringing karbon. Elohu matir mishum dinat mishalo. Shetrichem leot chadasha. He said it's not a matir in the sense that it removes an iser. It's a matir in the sense that there's a mitzvah to make the shtelechem, the first new grain, wheat, that you bring in the mikdash. Vimkein loshach lomer hovalatim lo heter. So you can't define it as a matir. Umiyushiv kushin atosvot. Vitzati zelevnei harav. Amr says a docha glomer she'in shum iser chadash al menachot. Shtelechem eino matir klal. And I suggested this and he rejected it. Right, he's recording conversation. He said, "No, how can you say it's not a matir at all?" And that which you said should be invalid because it's mechuzer zman. It's not the right time to bring it. That's not true. The mishum iser chadash eno nas mechuzer zman. The mishum iser lo shach shiyas mechuzer zman. Because of an iser, it can't be mechuzer zman. Umash odovid menoi, etc. I'll skip down. Four lines on the bottom. O teretz achar ratzal omer anal kushar atosot. The mincha omer kol din hakrovah shelo hurak lahadir chadash ve'ein mo din shel chovan ayom. And then the Griz says another point within Tosfot. He said, even if you think that the omer is only a matir, everyone will agree that the shtelechem is also a mitzvah. Because you must say, even if the Omer you're going to conclude that It is correct, right? He said, since the Isser is only the Chathila, meaning, because you want the Shtelechem to be first, it's clear that what's the centrality? By Omer, you could argue that maybe you're removing an Isser and that defines the Karban. But by Shtelechem, to the extent that it's problematic to bring a new grain to the Mikdash before the Shtelechem, why is that true? Because it's a mitzvah to bring the Shtelechem first, so it's clear that what's central?
But you're also defining the Shtelechem by bringing it first.
Correct, but his point is that even if it is also a matir, the matir itself is derived from the mitzvah. Meaning, right, by Omer you could argue that the definition is matir, that it permits the new grain. By the Shtelechem it's the other way around. There's a mitzvah to bring the Shtelechem first, and Mimela, everything else, shouldn't be brought until it's brought. But the mitzvah is what creates the Isser. So it's clear that the mitzvah... Oh, very good. And that's why, right, we could distinguish. We might say that the Omer, the Isser, the Omer applies nowadays, right? But, right, the Shtelechem might be different. I mean, not that we'd have a Beit HaMikdash, but, right, theoretically, Shtelechem might be different. So, correct. But I'm saying, like, let's say you had a... Okay, fine. Come up with a case. You have a year where there's no wheat whatsoever. Right? There's no wheat. Does that mean, so I won't be able to bring the Shtelechem? Does that mean I can bring new grain already before Shavuot, other grains, right? Bring a barley grain, right? Some other barley carbon, a mincha kana, I don't know. Okay, but maybe you'd say, well, just don't bring it, you know, whatever. We can come up with a case. Okay. Fine. Now, another indication that the Shtelechem has both aspects is this Rashi and Haman Beis. If you look at Rashi and Haman Beis, okay, I guess that's what we're going to do today. That's fine. Because we did... I thought we might be able to start the next source sheet, but because we ended up spending 15 minutes, which I'm totally fine with, summarizing some of the halakhic issues that we're going to see, like sort of telescoping to what we're going to see, so we didn't. But that's fine. So now you know where we're headed in this issue. So you look at Rashi and Haman Beis, Shekain, Kedushasa Osarta. It's like halfway down the page. Rashi says... What? Hamad Beis, yeah. It's like halfway, maybe 60% down the page. Rashi, Shekin Kedushas Osarta. B'davar Shu Kadosh. Oh, is that the right Shekin? No, I'm sorry. The last Rashi on the page. The second Shekin. Sorry, there are three of them. The ones at the end of the page, three lines from the bottom. Shekin Mitzvata Bekach. She'i efsher lahavi min hayashan she'ein chadash mutter binyan acher tomer church ever lahavi kshera. And then the last Rashi, she'kein mitzvah to bekach she'i efsher lahakrif tinu muzavin ela bo bayom. So if you look, so what's the problem here with Rashi? One second, I'm having trouble breathing behind this thing. Right, so Rashi, remember we said that by the Omer, mitzvah to bekach, right? Maybe the reason it's kosher, that's it's mitzvah, right? The Omer, maybe the reason that it's mutter, even though it's technically treif, is because that's its mitzvah. Remember we did that? We told this yesterday. Right, that maybe even though technically the grain you're bringing is still yashan, is still chadash, until you bring the Omer, it's mutter, because what are you going to do? That's the mitzvah, is to be mutter it by bringing the new grain. So Rashi says, she'i asher lavi min hayashan. Because you can bring yashan. She'ein chadash mutter b'inyan acher. Because chadash isn't mutter in any other way. So if you look... You know, I'll leave you on the... You know, hold off on that point. Yeah, hold off on the Rashi. Rashi is a bit complicated, so I'll leave it. You know what? Okay. I want to finish this today, so I'm going to say the next point outside. Okay? The Rambam in Tmidim Musaf and Chet Bet writes that b'diavad, if you used old grain for the shtei halechem, what do you mean? It's hilchot tmidim zafen. It's the Rambam.
Yeah.
In the Mishnah Torah, in hilchot tmidim zafen, the Rambam writes that for the shtei halechem you're supposed to use new grain, new grain. Do you actually have a Rambam? Do you bring a Rambam? I think I wrote this wrong here. All right, so the Rambam right
here. Read it to you.
Right, so the Rambam writes, it's me the Musafen. This mask. Oh, I really hate these masks. It's just so unbelievable. Okay, so the Rambam writes as follows in Berachot Halacha Bet. So the Rambam writes, Shtei halechem einam boin ela min ha'aretz u'min ha'chadash. She'emar mimashvoteichem tavio lechem tenufa. Lo matzu chadash yaviu min ha'aliyah. The shtei lechem are supposed to be brought from new grain. But if you don't have new grains, you can bring from old grain. Bring min ha'aliyah, what you have in storage. Okay? The Rebbe doesn't like this, but okay. By the Omer, as many of the Achronim know, that doesn't seem to be the case. For the Omer, it sounds like it's pasul b'diavad. If you bring it from new, from old grain, right, rather than new grain, it won't work. Okay, it won't work.
If you bring it from
the Omer, from old grain, right, like 2 or 3 year old grain, it won't work. Right, you're supposed to, you have to bring it from new grain. That's what it sounds like in the Rambam.
Which one do you bring first?
So why would that be different? What? The Omer. The Omer is brought on Pesach. Shtei Lechem is brought on Shavuot. Okay, so if you look at the Kli Chemda, and this is what I gave you here on Parshas Pinchas, where he pulls these together and he says as follows. He says, Ula Yesh Lomar. The Rashi's also really davka the Vurva Mishnah, the Omer Matir B'din Shtei Lechem B'Mikdash. Even though at a certain level the Omer is equated with the Shtei Lechem, Mikol Makom Ein in Yonam Echa. They're not the same. The Omer V'Matir Mamash. The Omer is really a matir. The mikodem haya aser chadash va'omer matirel, because before it was really aser. Masha engain b'shtei alechem ve'no matir klal. It's not a matir. The meichad eitzishia iser lagrav mikdash mincha lachar omer v'lo nemar was a iser b'torah rak shtei alechem tzim mincha chadasha. There's no iser. It never says don't bring a new grain. What is it? A new karban before the shtei alechem. What does it say? Make this one new. Make this one new. And therefore he says that's why it's only lechatchila that you have to bring it from new grain. But if you bring it from old grain, okay, so it'll work. But not for the Omer. Why? Because what's his chiddush? Says the Omer. The Omer is defined as a matir. How is it? What's its definition as a matir? What did the Gemara say? Mitzvato bakach. That the mitzvah is to take that which is aser, bring the Omer, and thereby matir all new grain, including which grain? The grain you're currently bringing. Right? Remember the Gemara says, how is the Omer kasher? Isn't the Omer, by definition, trait? Because until you brought the Omer, the grain in the Omer is still new, so it's trade. It's chadash. So the Gemara says, mitzvato bekach. So the Klei Chemda says, you know what mitzvato bekach means?
Oh, maybe.
That the mitzvah is to take something which is usher and matir it by bringing it. And therefore, by the Omer, if you bring it from old grain, it doesn't even work with the Evin. Why? Because it's defined as a matir. And so much so is it defined as a matir that what do you need to do? You need a matir, the chadash itself, by bringing part of it. But the shtei alechem is just a mitzvah. So there, lechatchila, you should bring new grain, so this is the new carbon, but you don't have it. So there's still a mitzvah to bring a carbon on Shavuot. No, that's, so we said, right, that's the, we, again, I said, you see different positions, this is his position.
So, maybe.
Again, it could be subject to the Machlok and the Gemara.
Maybe the sunrise, right, is the matir to bring the Omer, but the Omer is the matir to bring the rest of the grain. For,
So, now there is one little twist you could do, and you could say, it could be that you're right. And here's a little bit of a fancy lumdus, which he hints to at the end of the page. Right? Which is, well, maybe there is a solution to explain. Right? We suggested until now that maybe the, if you hold Meher and Mizrach as Matir, then you have to define the Omer as a mitzvah. But it's possible not. Because it could be that really it's a Matir. Right? And why is the 16th Matir Befoal? Like in practice, if the Omer is the Matir, so why is the day what practically allows it to be Mutter? So here's a little bit of a, just a linguistic point you got to realize. How do we refer to the day in the Gemara? Yomanev, Yomanav. The day that you do the Tenufa. Meaning, maybe you could argue that you're right. Maybe in practice the day is what permits it. But it's because it's defined as the day that you bring the Omer. And therefore, in a certain way, maybe conceptually, they're integrated. That it's not that the 16th is Matir. It's that the day that you bring the Omer is what's Matir. And therefore, it still sheds light conceptually on the Omer. It's a little bit forced, but it could be that that's what is going on, what he would say. And he says in the next paragraph, that's how he explains the Rambam. And I'll just read you as it right. He says, the question, as I said, so, and he says, since he holds that you have to bring that it's not a normal carbon at all, right? Because it's brought from barley, like Rashi. So he says it's defined as a matir. And that's why it needs to be brought from the grain that it will be matir. Right, now going back to that Rashi, right, so it could be that this is what Rashi's getting at. That Rashi says, why doesn't Rashi just say, right there, so this is the point I wanted to make in Rashi. Why doesn't Rashi just say the reason she came mitzvah to Bekach is, why doesn't he just simply say, look, there's no way of bringing new grain unless it's a matir, right? Unless it's exerts a kasuv. Instead he says, right, she yivshar lavi min a yashan, she in chadash mutter bin in acher, right, because you couldn't bring from the yashan. What do you mean you couldn't bring from the yashan? And it could be he's saying, well, there's also the mitzvah, right, meaning, right, it's right, there's a, you're not supposed to bring it from the, right, it's not just that's the only way you matzah the chadash, is that there's no mitzvah to bring from the yashan. So it could be that there's these two elements working together, that it's a matir and therefore the mitzvah. Again, you could quibble on this. This is how he takes it. Okay. But what we've seen is that in the shealechem as well, here I do think that the majority view is to say that the shealechem is a mitzvah more than just a matir, right? Because, but as you saw, really it seems to be two dead in Tosfot. I mean, again, this might be the difference between the shealechem and the omer. The omer is defined as a matir, and that's what it needs to permit. It can't be brought from whole grain. Shealechem, b'diavad, it might work, right? And that's how he understands, the klichem understands the Rambam. Okay. Technically, we have 20 minutes, but I'm really done behind this mask because this air conditioning is not working well enough. What?
Why don't we just switch sides?
whatever. It is what it is. So, okay, let me just, no, it's okay. Let me just outline what we're going to do tomorrow. That's okay. Let me just outline what we're going to do tomorrow. Okay? Anyways, it's a complicated, I want to read the Yerushalmi in one shot. So, okay? What we're going to do tomorrow is, now we've done this, what I want to do is, if you remember, now that we've talked about mitzvah matir, etc., Shkelechem and the Omer, so remember, the Gemara had said, well, the first day of the Gemara seems to really think that there's two, it's a matir, and it's one of two matirim. Either just the day, when there's no Beit HaMikdash, or just the Omer, when there's an Omer. Right? That's what the first day sounds like. The second day, and the Gemara says no, that the 16th, sunrise of the 16th, is matir. And then the Gemara says, but wait a second, if it's already mutter, then what does the Omer do? So it says, lemitzvah. And what we need to understand is, what does that mean, lemitzvah? Right? Meaning, it doesn't just mean there's a mitzvah to bring the Omer. By that we know there's a mitzvah to bring the Omer. What the Gemara seems to be saying is, not only is there a mitzvah to bring the Omer, but even though the Isser of Chadash is removed by sunrise, even when there's a Beit HaMikdash, there's some sort of mitzvah that tells you, even though it's not treif, whatever, treif Chadash, you still shouldn't eat the new grain until the Omer. What we need to do is define, well, what is that mitzvah? Right? Meaning, I understand what it means to say it's Usser. Right? It's treif. Right? I get that. But what does it mean to say that Heyer Mem isn't removed the law, but there's a mitzvah? What type of mitzvah? Right, and as we'll see in the Yerushalmi, that there's basically three possibilities. What are the three possibilities? Again, I'll outline it now, and we'll see it inside tomorrow. What are the possibilities?
It was talking about the Bible from text. I don't understand.
It was what?
It was talking about the five different texts of brain from how
we know that. Who? Oh, Yerushalmi is also trying to figure out the grains. So remember, we said the all these rules apply to five grains: Chita, Sa'ora, and then their subsidiaries. Right, so part of the Yerushalmi is figuring that out, but then the Gemara gets into, and what is the Isser, what is the mitzvah? So there's three possibilities. Right, what are the three possibilities? And again, I'll outline it, and then you'll see in the Yerushalmi and Tosfot.
The sun
rises. Well, no. What is the nature of the mitzvah? Right, if you think it's mutter at Heir Ben Israel, meaning in the sense that it's not usher, but what does it mean that there's still a mitzvah to not eat the new grain until you bring the Omer? So there's three possibilities. What are they? Mitzvah say d'oraita, right? Which is that not eating new grain has both a lav and a mitzvah d'oraita. The lav is erased at sunrise, and the mitzvah d'oraita, and therefore it's a bitul mitzvah say. That's possibility one. Possibility two is it's midirabanan, right? That midirabanan sunrise is matir, and the omer is just a mitzvah. Oh, but it could be that the yom is matir and the mitzvah and the omer is just a mitzvah of the yom, right? That's when this is going to become important, and maybe just and therefore the isser is only derabanan. Or the third possibility is going to be mitzvah min hamufchar. Is that there are some maybe even at a daraisa level or whatever? It's just the better way to do it. You're right. It's not usher before. But it's better to wait for the Omer, just like it's better, you know, to not eat before davening. No, it's also to eat before davening. Right? But, right, someone, who was it who asked me this morning, why did I have a cookie before davening? Yes, I'm like, no, of course not. I didn't violate any Nisr Sevek Daraisa. I'm not eating davening. You're not eating before davening. Why would I eat before davening? Right? Honestly, what do you people think about me? What? All right, so very quickly, since I'll make this point now, since I brought it up, I brought this upon myself. Right, the Gemara, there are two things that the Gemara says as to why you can't eat before davening. One is, lo tochlu al adam, which the Gemara derives as, lo you shouldn't daven kodem sheet balel al dimchem, right, before you pray for your soul. And the other is, lo tishlachtach regovecha, that you have thrown me behind your, the Gemara makes a drasha, that basically, right? It's arrogant to eat before davening, right? You haven't yet turned to God and requested things. Now, based on that, the way standard psak, this is in Machlokes Rishonim, but standard psak says that you can drink water before davening. Why? It's a Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim think you can't. But they say, look, water isn't zam. It doesn't give you nourishment, right? It doesn't like give you calories. And it's a very simple drink. So it's not arrogant to have water. You know, whatever, it keeps you hydrated, whatever. The point is not that it's Isser to eat, it's Isser to show hubris by, you know, eating something nice, doing something significant before davening water. So medicine for sure is mutter, right? Because you're not having medicine before to show God, you know.
I love my medicine.
But I will point out, by the way, that standard psak that's brought in the Achronim is that the Isser to eat before davening is so chamor that the Mishabura quotes that, let's say you have a choice. You're strong enough. So in general, we paskin as follows. Let's say you're too sick. If you don't eat, you can't daven at all. So then what's the halacha?
If you're what?
If you're so sick that you can't daven if you don't eat, what's the halacha? What?
Eat.
But what if you're sick, you're a little bit hungry to the point where if you daven right now, be a chidus, you'll be fine. And you'll eat in 20 minutes when you finish davening. Right? You'll daven quickly and you'll eat. Or you can wait an hour until the next minyan, but that you couldn't do. Right? You don't have the strength to wait till minyan. So you have two choices. Eat before davening and daven with a minyan, or daven bechidus and eat after davening. So the majority of the Achronim say, which of those is preferable?
Daven
bechidus. Right? For sure, if you can daven bechidus. But that's how much they don't like this eating before davening. They say it might be better to daven b'yechidus. If that will allow you to eat, to wait to eat after davening. Right, Rishmul Davin? Right, the Achronim say that the Isser to eat before davening is so chamor that it might be better to daven b'yechidus and eat afterwards. That's what Mishabura says. That's the majority view, I think, in Achronim. It's not what the majority of what people do, but I think it's a majority on paper in the Achronim. Okay, good. That's but like I said, that's not what we're doing tomorrow. What we're doing tomorrow is the Rishalmi and the Tosot to figure out what is this mitzvah that we're talking about, mitzvah, right? Etc. Okay? Good.